This episode of the A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
Contributions of the game are too much.
His contributions are insane. Like, he should... You know, it's just like, how can we have an approach for Hall of Fame without Flores? Seriously, can we? Yeah. Can we do that?
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team. KYT.
Sorry, Jay just agreed with Medina. My head exploded.
Jay Boosh.
Is this what it's like to be a brewer? Because that was exciting.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. I take it all back.
Scotty.
I would really like you to, like, come clean. You just mulligan to land, elf sword every single game.
And Medina.
So anyways, I had to leave, obviously, because I'm just not going to sit here and watch chicks get naked when there's training to be done.
And now, the A-Team.
Welcome to episode 136 of the A-Team podcast. Je suis Jay Boosh. Boosh is French for mouth, by the way, which is fitting. And I am joined by KYT. Say hello, KYT.
Bonjour. Hello.
You sound terrible at French, oh my god. And le Scotty Mac, le monsieur Scotty Mac, le bon.
Bonsoir, mes amis.
Comment ça? Way better.
So the more, like stereotypical French accent.
Oh, and then we have Jonathan Mandeneu.
I'm not even going to attempt it. I'm not even going to try. I'm ending the fun right here.
All right, so this is the no fun zone. This is a no jerk zone, and it is a no fun zone. So let's do it.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about life balance and magic, guys.
Again,
yeah. We haven't talked about that before. And
Part three.
Just joking.
Part three, kids, don't have them. That's your balance.
There
you go.
Oh, man.
Hey, Nightmare's back. Okay, sorry. I'm off topic. Awesome. Thanks, Jay.
Were you trying to catch up on that M14 spoiler?
Yeah.
I'm doing my homework.
I'm reintroducing. Oh, God. Anyways, GP Miami just happened this weekend, and there were some amazing things that happened. First and foremost is notable Toronto area personality Sammy T made top 8 of the event with Blue White Red Flash, basically the Jacob Van Loonen version with Thundermaw Hellkites, and qualified for the Pro Tour in doing so. So, like, huge shout out to Sammy T. I met him on the show a couple times. Most importantly, when I saw him in at GP Toronto, he was like, "Hey, Scotty Mac, how's it going? I love the show. Like, I listen every week." And so, like, super awesome and sick. Sammy T, way to go. We're very proud of you. And, you know, whenever you're around and you want to, you know, jump on the show, we'll certainly think about having you on. So just hit me up and we'll get that together. But major congrats, bro, because you worked really hard to get there. So, yeah.
Not surprised. He had school get in the way, and he was, for the longest time, considered one of the best, and at some point, like, the best Canadian player. So to see him break through was no surprise to me. So I hope he does well in the Pro Tour.
Yeah, ditto.
Is he gonna be playing on Team Mana Deprived or something like that, man?
Well, I don't know. Like, last time they just brought... They just invited Asians on their team, so we'll see what they decide for the next one. But there's, like, two teams now. There's a growing presence in out west, you know, Doug Potter and company, and then there's the Eastern team. So I don't know how it's going to shake up. It's a lot of it is in Alex's court, so it's up to him. Like, I find it funny people, like, ask me, like how to get their guy, how do I join this team? Like, it's not my team. It's got my my website's name on it, but I have zero input until I make the Pro Tour, so.
Whoa. You should have some input, dude.
As soon as you get on the tour, you're going to be like, hey, Alex, my fucking team. Shut up.
Alex, you're fired. Write an article, Alex. Wait, Alex who?
Oh.
Is that that guy who won a Pro Tour once?
Oh, man, that's terrible.
Suck it, Hame.
I do want to give a shout-out to another...
Suck it, Hame.
Another Team Manager Pride member from the last Pro Tour, Josh McLean, also known as Good Game on MTGO. He finished in the finals in second place. I know this joke gets made a lot about my website's name. So in the Swiss rounds, he was wearing a Manager Pride shirt, and he was featured against against Harry Corvez. And he was Corvizi, and he was
Harry Corvizi,
and he was stuck on mana. And I've seen like the Twitter comments saying, "Like, isn't it ironic that he's wearing a mana deprived shirt?" So
looks like he's a little mana deprived right now.
it never gets old because it's just so like terrible. I love it. I love it. But shout outs to him. He finished in the finals.
I didn't know he was one of your guys. That's fucking hot.
Yeah. So that's gonna be pretty sweet. And of course.
Yep.
Friend
of the show, Canadian heartthrob, Reed Duke.
Is he honorary Canadian or is he really Canadian?
No, he's honorary Canadian.
Okay. Yeah.
He fucking just demolished everybody, once again proving that Jund is his ham sandwich.
Reed Duke is like the Man of Steel of Magic. Like, you have to root for him. He's like the good guy. He's like the good guy of Magic.
I don't know. I agree that you have to root for Reed Duke, but I don't agree that he's like the good guy. Like, he is a good person and everything, but we've talked about this before, but like, there's no bad guys in Magic. Everybody just sucks everybody's dicks. Everybody wants to suck everyone's dick. No one's like, what about that guy? Like, oh, he's doing really good. And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, yeah, he's the best. And then they have a billion followers on Twitter. And then, you know what I mean? Like, no one's like, I wouldn't suck that guy's dick. Fuck that guy. He's a dick. I hope he loses. Right? No one says that. Like, all you see all around.
Oh, I don't know. They do say that.
Who KYT? Says that and doesn't get banned?
Okay, KYT said that about TSG last episode.
Oh, no. He listens every week, buddy.
Good. Welcome, TSG. Thank you for joining the show. Now just chill out and be entertained, bro. We also say that about Michael Jacobs. Who else do we say that about? There's people that we don't, they're not heroes of the Magic community. They're somewhat villains.
You're stretching. I think like two people, one is a joke, and one is a piece of shit. Mike Long, everybody talks about how great Mike Long is. Yeah, he cheated way back in the day, but if it wasn't for him, then the rules wouldn't be what they are today. And Mark Rosewater sucks that guy's dick every year when it comes to Hall of Fame.
What about Saito?
Everyone's like, oh, he served his time. Oh, it's blah, blah, blah. No one is like, ban that guy for life. The only people.
Alex Verchini.
And even then, people came around. And then Dr. Eight Sides is the only person I can think of, and we don't even know that guy's real name, and everybody hates him because he took a picture of a fat, smelly person and said, this guy's fat and smelly.
He's not a pro. He doesn't count. We can't even
That's
count.
That's right. He doesn't count. That's what I'm saying. Is, like, the only people that are villains in Magic are the non-pros. It's so fucking boring.
No.
Like, you know what? I'll tune in and watch coverage if you have, like, a fucking grudge match on. If you have some guy that's a piece of shit. Every round, fucking VIP that guy. Every round, I want to see some fucking piece of shit in my screen. Just like being a dick. Just like, yeah, mountain. Yeah, nice fucking mountain, bro. Fucking Manaleek. Manaleek your shit. Go. No, can't have that. Fuck, they would be like, they'd be thrown off the Pro Tour so fast.
Jay wants the guy who, when he loses, pulls out a switchblade. And it's like, let's settle this in the parking lot, man.
Yeah, like, exactly. I want that shit to happen.
So, but the point being, okay, Reed Duke is one of the nicest guys. Like, Have you seen an interview with Reed Duke? He's always, like, very humble and just like, yeah, you know, I made some misplays in that game.
Whoa.
I feel
that's
like
a pretty good impression.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I didn't deserve to win, but, you know, I got there in the end, and I'm really happy about it. It's just like, you got to root for that guy, man.
Wow, that was pretty good.
That was remarkable, actually. Yeah, I'm impressed.
Oh, man. I love that guy. I was watching one of the Walk the Plains the other day, and then, like, the guy's like, how does it feel to be counted with the best players of Magic? You know, when did you feel like you deserved to be up there? And then Reed's like, I don't know, like 45 seconds ago?
Yeah.
It's just like, he's so humble. He's awesome, man. I love Reed. He's like the good guy of Magic. He's like the Man of Steel, you know, the Superman, the incorruptible, you know, good guy of Magic.
I'd really just love to watch Reed Duke, like, play Magic, get upset at his opponent, and, like, flip a fucking table. Like, even if it were just as a joke, like, on a YouTube video, I would fucking die. Like, die. I would, like,
you want to see him pull the switchblade.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Yeah, just have him, like, flip the table and be like, you know what? You're fucking terrible at this game.
Oh, man.
You fucking quit life.
So, how did he win? What did he play?
Well, Jund. Obviously.
Jund.
So,
yeah.
Spicy is that he left his Lilianas at home, left the Sires of Insanity at home. Lilianas are in the sideboard, but he played Rurik Thar as a 2-up.
Oh, yes.
Which was pretty spicy.
Oh, yes.
Against all of the, like, blue-white-red flash cards that were coming at.
Yeah,
I love when you... Yeah.
Now, and what's interesting is, like, most of the blue-white-red flash decks were also playing, like, Thunderbolt Hellkite since Jacob Van Luna made it a thing. So, you know, being able to play Rurik Thar to, like, block and blank all of those Thunderbolt Hellkites while at the same time basically turning off, you know, three-quarters of the flash deck... yeah. Like, it was a pretty good recipe.
Wait. How does he resolve a Rurik Thar? Did they stop playing counter spells in the blue?
No, he still plays Cavern.
How many Caverns does he play? One?
It's the same. So the idea behind the Rurik Thar is how did they ever resolve a Sire of Insanity? It's the same thing.
Oh, I thought that was a shitty, you know, plan anyway, Sire of Insanity.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. I think Rurik Thar is probably good, but it's like, I don't know, man. And what is this? I can't get over this. Jacob Van Loonen made Thunderbolts popular in blue, white, red. Like, those Thunderbolts have been in blue, white, red since, like, last year.
They've been on and off, but, like, he recently, not only did he play it at a Star City event, and he and a bunch of other players were all playing basically his list, but he was playing in a lot of Moto and, like, 4-0-ing a lot, and then wrote some article on either Channel Fireball or the Mothership. I can't remember which. And that basically, you know, brought them back into Blue Eye Red Flash. And, I mean, it's interesting because it's not a ubiquitous thing. Like, it's not a ubiquitous choice. I mean, Matt Costa, who also made top 8 of that event, was not playing Thunderbolt Hellkites at all. He was playing a more traditionally controlly version of the deck. And so it issued them all together.
Thunderbolts have always been in the deck, man.
Not true.
It's always been an option. You're not talking about, like, oh, he put some, like, super techie red card in the deck, you know?
He's bringing, like, it back.
And the deck was not even a deck for a while, right?
So it'd be the same thing as somebody putting Geist of St. Traff back in that deck, and then actually, like, winning an event with it.
Yeah, because, and then you're like Jacob Van Loonen put Geist. It's the Jacob Van Loonen version with Geist of St. Traff, even though, like, Todd Anderson ran Geist of St. Traff and, like, Blue White Illusions, like the same kind of archetype, like back in the day, right? Like, it's like, yeah, come on, like, this is not a new thing. Like, tell him to put some other, like, big fat, tell him, like, Ultraviolet Hellkite. If he puts Ultraviolet Hellkite in Blue White Red Flash, then it could be the Jacob Van Loonen special.
Is that a card?
Yeah, it is. It's worth $2, too, by the way.
It's Utvara Hellkite.
You can get it for 50 cents. What is it?
Oh, right.
Utvara Hellkite. Yeah, from
Gate. But it's ultraviolet. Ultraviolet.
I'll do this. Just call it ultraviolet.
I like that better. I'll go with it.
Man. Where did I get ultraviolet from? Oh, man. Anyways. Yeah, but the blue-eyed flash and blue-eyed red flash is becoming a thing again, right?
Yeah. It was actually one of the most played decks in Miami at the top tables, and also at the most recent SCG. Or if it wasn't the most recent one, it was the one before that. But yeah, it's been played a lot. Which I don't like, because, like, blue cards are bad right now.
You think so? Do you think Counterspells are bad right now?
Well, no, like, Essence Scatter is absurd right now. Like, I think Essence Scatter is one hell of a card, because everybody's playing nothing but, like, creature decks and creature, you know, cards that are relevant. And there are very few caverns now that are being actively played. Like, if you go through a lot of the junk reanimator lists, there's very few caverns. If you go through, you know, like the Naya list, there's almost none, unless you're on Blitz. You know, so there's very, very few caverns being played. Essence Scatter is very good right now.
Yeah, plus, like, you can drop it on turn two, and you can, because, like, a lot of decks are doing this, like, turn two Luxodon Spider thing.
Yeah.
And you could totally, like, Essence Scatter Luxodon Spider on turn two. It's important that you have the turn two counterspell for that.
You know? For Luxodon Spider.
For Loxodon Smiter, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a threat. It's like a 4/4, and you know.
Okay. What am I, an angel troll bill again?
Yeah. Shut up,
KYT. I had to just make sure that we were both clear that we were talking about Loxodon Smiter. And we were, so I went with it.
Okay, sweet.
Okay. But no, I totally agree where you're coming from. Like, there's a lot of really savage 3-drop creatures right now that are very relevant in, you know, a lot of the decks. And even if it's like even if it's a 4-drop off of Farseek on turn 3, you know, like, if you're on the play, you want to have that quick answer for it. And you know, being able to, you know, counter like a Huntmaster or counter a Boris Reckoner, you know, out of Jund'ar and I respectively,
is that you can actually counter for
is totally relevant. Yeah.
At home.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. Like, so I'm not saying that. I just think that the blue card strategy in general, like, you really have to, it's just kind of like you have to have the right answers. And, you know, there's no wrong threats, just wrong answers sort of thing. And I just feel like with Standard being so varied right now and, like, 19 different decks or whatever the hell being, you know, capable of winning from one week to the next, I just don't know if I can – like, you really have to just play Russian Roulette with a blue deck. You have to really just, like, try to be on top of the meta, make your decision, and then, you know, hope that you guessed right.
Yeah, what happened to that dude, Voice of Resurgence? Is he still being played?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that suck for, like, a blue-eye-red flashback?
Part of the other problem, yeah.
Are they running, like, pillars now?
Yeah, 3 to 4 of them, yeah. 4 in the 75, for sure. Yeah, you got pillar, Snapcaster, pillar, right?
Yeah, I just don't think, like, I don't know, man. I just don't think you want to be doing, like, blue, white, red flash. I think you want to just, like, play something that's more aggressive. Not aggressive in the sense that you're, like, playing a, whatever that guy is, Burning Tree Emissary and, like, trying to puke your hand. But, like, you want to be proactive and not reactive, I don't think. There's just too many good proactive cards,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree completely. Yeah, I mean, the only people that I think that are really sticking to blue, white, red are the people that are really trying to rely on their own play skill or that are intimately familiar with the deck and just kind of, you know, that's been it's what they've been playing. Like, Matt Costa, you know, it fits this, you know, that sort of thing. And, I mean, those are the people, the diehards, that are still hanging on.
Yeah, but all these other decks that are out there, I think are better choices if you want to, like, KYT's trying to win a PTQ, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, and Jund is not very, it's not, like, as proactive, but it is, like, it does have a plan, like, just grind the crap out of them, and and then, like, you know, stick some threat and, like, wolf run the shit out of it. That seems like, that's a plan, though, you know? Like, blue white red is, like, you know, let me counter stuff and, like, play Restoration Angels.
I gotta wolf run the shit out of them.
Yeah. It's like, nice Restoration Angel. I'm gonna pump this drag test token for 18. You wanna block? Oh, you do? Okay. Go ahead and block. you got my token. Alright. I'm gonna play this Nighthawk. Go. Oh, man. I don't know, man. I don't like the Jund deck. I don't like it.
You don't like Reed Duke's Jund deck?
I don't. I don't like Jund in general. It might be a bias. I don't think it's... I'm not saying don't play Jund if you want to win a PTQ, because I don't know shit. But I don't like it personally. Like,
okay.
It's not a deck I would play.
Makes sense.
Like, I don't know. They're still in Barrel Rites decks, right?
Yep.
Those are still decks. What happened to that 4-color one? It was like a burp on the radar, and now it's gone.
It's still around. It was Melissa Del Toro, actually, just wrote an article about it this week. She's got a list that she's going to be playing in all of her standard events until Scavenging News comes in. It's still around, but it's such a small percentage now, I think. Like, it's a niche percentage of the metagame that it's just really not being talked about anymore. But it's still around.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, like, if you really want to win a PTQ, you got to learn one of these aristocrat decks, no?
Well, apparently, Travis Wu says that, and he convinced AJ, Soccer, I mean, you got to be playing Is It Blitz, apparently.
What? Wait.
AJ,
rewind?
AJ streamed the PTQ today with Is It Blitz.
What?
Yeah.
Is this still running the Is It card that we spoiled?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
I told you it could be played. I told you.
I told KYT that he absolutely, if you're really looking for a deck, you should probably play it, because then you can, like, win with Nivik Cyclops.
Dude.
And you, spike
send
a PTQ.
Send Travis Wu, like, a gift basket. Send him some kind of, like, send him a gift basket with, like, Modern Masters packs in it and, like, KYT signed tokens for making that thing a deck.
Like, you realize, KYT, like, you get to play Geist of Saint Trapped with this, too.
Scott, did you watch part of the stream today, or?
No, I saw that he was doing it on Twitter.
Cause,
I wonder how he did.
Me too, because my, on paper, like, it's, the Jund matchup is just miserable. Because you just kill the Cyclops, and then all he has is, like, Faithless Looting and a bunch of Artful Dodges in his hand, or Gutter Snipes that can get there eventually. But Jund seems to be an awful matchup, and with Jund possibly gaining more with, you know, people naturally net-decking Reed Duke's list this weekend, I'm going to have to check out the archives of AJ's stream.
Does that deck run white? It does, right?
Yeah, so here's the deck. Here's the deck as it stands right now. Like, it's main deck, 3 Geist of St. Traft, 4 Gutter Snipe, 4 Nivik Cyclops, 4 Boros Charm, 4 Is It Charm, 1 Feeling of Dread, 1 Searing Spear, 2 Snapcaster Mage. And then you're into, like, 4 Artful Dodge, 4 Faithless Looting, 4 Pillar of Flame, 4 Thought Scour, and a Faith
Shield. This can't be real. This can't be real.
It's real. The sideboard's hilarious. So check this out. This is what I think makes this deck is the sideboard. Sideboard is 2 Ral Zarek and a Warleader's Helix, the 4th Geist of St. Traft and 3 Boros Reckoners, 2 Snapcaster Mage, another Searing Spear, a Harvest Pyre, 1 Faith Shield, 2 Electricery, and a Moorland Taunt. So, like, this is pretty sick, because you basically get to go into a blue-white-red flash deck.
Can you just, like, run that one big enchantment card against Jund? Like, is that card good? Assemble Allegiance?
I think, like...
The mana is so tight, isn't it? And how the curve is so low, right?
Yeah, the curve's low.
How many lands are you running?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... 11, 15, 20.
20?
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, you can't remember that.
Ugh. Ugh. But, like, you got to figure, you've got, like, Faithless Lootings and Thought Scours and Is It Charms.
You know what you should slide into? Like, 4 Unbarrow Rites and 4 Angel Serenities. You have white, dude. You just, like, discard that crap and then be like, boom, Angel Serenity.
Anyways,
I'm not even gonna acknowledge that shit.
This deck is interesting, and I think that it would take your PTQ by surprise.
I don't think it's a PTQ winning deck, bro. Remember what happened when Jerry Thompson put his faith in a blue red creature that countered on all of these other spells.
Magus Elemental.
Oh, man. It did not work out well.
I don't know. There's been a lot of PTQ top 8s with this deck.
Really?
Yeah, there has. No wins, though. No wins?
Yet. But, you gotta figure, like, so...
It should be me, right?
It should be somebody else, and then you could try it.
I don't know.
Well, we spoiled the card, so, like Scott says, it would be hilarious, though, if I played that deck.
It'd be a story and a half.
Oh, man. 0-2. End of story.
I don't know, man. Like, that would certainly be something that would make Walk the Plains if you made the Pro Tour on the back of Nivek Cyclops. I don't know, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not hard to make Mark Walk the Plains, all right?
Did you make it yet?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I haven't made it. You have to play magic to make that thing, man.
Oh.
You don't just get to talk shit on a podcast and make Walk the Plains.
Yeah, but anyways, it's pretty sick. I mean, I would definitely go back and watch AJ's archives. See if it's
I'm
any good.
Definitely gonna do that right after the show. I'm gonna have to check out his thoughts and as to whether he was trolling or not.
No, he actually played it. He did. Let me. I should probably just do a search here.
What, like maybe it's just because like we've talked about how the metagame is so diverse, and if you play a deck that has basically the same approach, same that's just attacking an angle and not having these reactive spells, maybe it is the way to go. So I'll consider it. It would be like a very last minute audible.
Yeah. Consider it.
Yeah, so stream is live, standard PTQ. Oh, stream will make his triumphant return, standard Moto PTQ, playing a super fun joke deck, then drafting when I bust. So
joke deck.
Seems like he has a lot of faith in the deck.
Man, oh man.
Anyways, it's worth looking at. We'll see. Anyways, yeah, I know Travis was all over telling you to play it, so there's that.
It's funny though, back to the GP, that Hexproof is still a thing, and it's played by like these players that are that you think can play other decks, like more skillful decks, like Raptor was playing it, Shanhar was playing it.
Zach Hill's playing it.
So, and that deck's still really good, except, of course, lose it, like, inconsistency, whatever, but it put up quite some numbers. I think it was the most popular deck in the top 16, if I'm not mistaken, so...
Yeah, that's still day two it was the second most played deck archetype behind... Jund, I think.
What deck is this? The Cyclops deck?
Hexproof. Bant Hexproof.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what? What world are we in? Did I miss something? Okay, the Hexproof, yeah.
Yeah.
Hexproof deck is one of those... it is an option. It's like I say, I hate every standard deck right now, pretty much. But I don't like the deck, but I think it's like I would play this before I played Jund.
Yeah?
Yeah, this deck puts a lot of pressure, man. And, you know, I've seen, like, some people play this deck, and, like, people who suck at Magic, they play this deck terribly. But I think it gives you, like, you have to mulligan, and I think it gives you a good shot, you know?
Yeah, you have to know very quickly what a keeple hand is. And if you don't, then you're basically boned.
Yeah.
So do you like the list of the guy that came in first? Or that made top 8? Like, do you like that Valentin Mackle's Aura list? Did you look at it?
No, I'm looking at the MTGO dailies. Let me look at this. Let me go to dailymtg.com.
Like, I don't think I like the list, personally.
Dot cam. I can't do it. The J. I can't do it. The J.
Cam.
There are some
interesting choices. Like, some people were playing, like Shanhar was playing the full set of Silverplate Paladin. This guy's playing just one main. So I'm not totally sure, like, which version I prefer.
Oh, here we go. Duke draws blood in Miami. You know, they really do need to, like, come up with some better, like, titles for these things. They really suck at that. Okay, Brad Nelson with his junk aristocrats. Brad Nelson.
Okay.
Still looking. Bant Auras. Are you talking about this McCrackle guy?
Yeah.
Phil McCrackle.
Alright, so he's got one fencing ace. What's with the one ofs, man?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, one fencing ace, one smiter, one paladin, one strangle root guys.
That seems dumb. Like, just a bunch of one ofs. Like, I don't get it. Maybe he's got three strangle roots in the sideboard. So maybe he needed, like, one in the main deck so that he could have four in the 75.
So I think this is probably closer. Like, there's a fifth place list here from us from the online Moto PTQ.
Wait, did he run Spell Pierce?
No.
It says two Spell Pierce in the sideboard.
Spell Rupture.
Huh?
Spell Rupture, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, they fucked it up.
Yeah. So here's a list from – this one's a lot more streamlined, I think. So from the standard PTQ on Boto on June 29th. So 22 lands is standard. The mana base doesn't seem to be any different from one deck to the next. Four Avacyn's Pilgrim, four Invisible Stalker, four Geist of St. Traft, three Silverblade Paladin, two Stranglerout Geist, three Voice of Resurgence. Then you're at four Ethereal Armor, four Rancor, four Spectral Flight, four Inflinching Courage, two Simic Charm. Like, that's your main deck. That seems a lot more reliable, right?
Yeah, that sounds like the typical... Well, I have Shahar's list in front of me.
Oh,
he plays four Pilgrim, four Soccer, two Geist, Strangle Root Geist, four Geist of Sengtraff, four Voice of Resurgence, four Silverbait Paladin, four Ethereal Armor, four Rankle, four Spectral Flight, and four Inflinching Courage. So no Abundant Groves. No Simic Charm, Selesnya Charm, just like the full 16 spells for him.
And then 22 creatures.
Right.
So four paladins and four voices.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know, man. I haven't played this deck, so I have no idea.
Just add Blood Baron.
Oh, man.
It is good.
Yeah, I mean, Blood Baron's good. Yeah, I don't know. This deck list, I don't know about Blood Baron in this deck, though, right? Because then you can't enchant it with Imperial Armor or, like, or Unflinching Courage. That seems pretty weird.
But why do you hate Standard, John?
I don't hate Standard.
You just don't like any decks.
I don't like the decks I'm looking at here. Like, I think what's happening is, like, Standard is starting to get into that place where everything is starting to get finely tuned, you know? And it's hard to, like, play, like, weird decks that seem awesome.
Mm-hmm.
One of the decks that, when I was playing a lot of Standard, this is, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was a deck that was, like, coming up, you know, that was kind of like starting to show really good results in MTGO, and it was that black, white, red. There was two versions of it. There was one with the Unburial Rites and like Star of Insanity and stuff, and then there was one that went more for the Assemble Legion kill, and so it was like a weird, like blue, white, red Assemble Legion like control deck kind of, and that deck was 4-0-ing quite a bit like 4 weeks ago, and I thought that deck looked pretty good, but now it's, like, nowhere to be found. So, like, those kind of decks interest me. I liked Junk Rites when I was playing it. I don't know how good it is now. Like, I haven't played Standard in a while. But it does look like Scott was saying, like, it does look like the counter spells are, you know, could probably be really good right now. The caverns are really low, you know. People are getting pretty ballsy about what they're trying to cast. You know, the only thing that I worry about with counterspell decks is like these decks that have these Burning Tree Emissaries, and like any kind of like fast aggro deck like that, or like it just doesn't seem, or even the Aristocrats builds, they seem like they would just run it right over a counterspell deck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this might be the best time. Like, it might be the comeback of counterspell decks, and
well, they have to find a way to deal with these rush decks, you know.
Right.
Before they can, like, in my opinion, I don't know, I haven't played the format, so I have no idea, but I assume that would be a problem for me, you know?
Right, right. I was playtesting something, and I never thought that when it was first spoiled that I would love the format of Helix as much as I do, and that spell is insane, especially with Snapcaster Mage. So once you survive like the early part of it, you're gonna be fine. But Reanimator is certainly a player. It finished second, and I still see it at various PTQ results. I see it in the top eight of quite a few PTQs still. So that's still a deck.
Do you feel like that deck gives you enough like room to like exercise skill and be like, you know, because like to win a PTQ, you're gonna have to have a deck that lets you kind of like outplay someone, right?
Right, right.
And do you think like Junk Reanimator does that?
It does give me a lot of options, but I think against a lot of the mid-range strategies, which is I think the more popular, like in my local metagame, I think it's mid-range and hexproof.
Uh-huh.
Hexproof, like the match is pretty straightforward. Against mid-range, you're basically trying to, you know, infinite slime the guy. That's like your approach. So I haven't been like, I think the decks that have had the most trouble playing are stuff like Aristocrats, where there are a lot of options, whether it be Junk Aristocrats or Act 2, Act 1, whatever. Those decks, or like the control decks, where there's a lot of more options. The mid-rangey decks, I feel like they play just like Jund. They're fairly straightforward. Of course, you're gonna, if you play like a boss like Reed, who will make like the most absolute optimal play more often than I will, then you can milk you know, every single percentage that you can. But I generally think like playing something more mid-rangey is usually more straightforward, especially if I'm just like trying to curve out Reckoner into Huntmaster into Thragtusk, and like
uh-huh.
basically my only line of thinking is like, how do I attack? Like Willie Edel's spell deck, when like the main spells that you had were Mizium Mortars and the rest were creatures, it's not like there was a lot of play to the deck versus other decks, relatively speaking.
Yeah. You know what I would do? Like, if I had a PTQ like coming up, I would just go watch Adam Prozac stream, and whatever he's playing, I would play that. Because Prozac always has a weird way of attacking the meta, and he's always on the, like, I don't want to say always on the cutting edge, but I always find that he's always playing with a deck that is very good, and mm-hmm. And that, you know, that he feels like could have a good chance, you know? And it always is kind of like a deck that's kind of a little bit undiscovered, so to speak, you know? Like, he was one of the first people playing with that four-color Reanimator deck.
He's right, one, right.
Like, the inventor of the blue-white flash deck. You know, like, these kind of things, right before they hit, you know, he's always, like, playing with them, you know?
He made that Legacy deck that everyone was hyped about. I forget, it was that No Spells deck, right? No, No Lands. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about the Storm
nope.
deck?
Oh, yeah, the Oops, No Lands, the one with those two new creatures that you mill yourself or whatever. Right? Is that what you're talking about?
I forget, but like he just came out with it, and everyone was going crazy over it.
That was kind of a dumb deck. That was like a joke deck, but still.
But yeah, still, he thought about it and put it out there. So I'll definitely check out his stream, AJ's stream. But as for now, like my backup choice, my safe choice is definitely Jund, because I feel like, you know, it has a chance against every matchup, and that's something I didn't feel like I had with Naya, just running into a hexproof player and feeling fairly helpless. Well, at least with the version that I was playing, I just didn't like it, just sitting there like and knowing that I was just going to die to Geist with anything on it, and I just couldn't stop it. So, but whereas Jund, there's definitely some answers, whether it be Abrupt Decay to buy me some turn Liliana to make them sack, like there's a lot of tools in Jund, so that's going to be my deck. But there's definitely still time for me to audible. And I've been playing, like, right now I'm testing, today I've been testing Kibler's Jund aggro deck that I think Sed Phillips was playing to a top 8 at an SCG, where it's, like, Stranglerood Geist,
Flint Hoof Boars, Varrels, Falcon Wrath, Aristocrat, Thundermaul, Hellkite, Huntmaster of Fells, Olivia. So a lot more like, Bonfires as well. So basically Jund, but a lot more aggro, and I want to see how good that deck is. I think Owen and Huey played it. They made day two, but Kibler didn't make day two with the deck. But it's in an article coming up on SCG tonight, and I know Brian thinks it's still a pretty solid deck, and it looks spicy, so I'm going to give it a try.
That sounds interesting for sure. You said it was Jund aggro, right? Not junk aggro, right?
Right, correct.
Yeah, with bonfires and stuff?
Yeah. So almost like the same, like it even plays Farseek. Like it plays Arborel, Farseek, Flint and Hoof Borg, Stranglered Geist. So.
I don't know about Farseek in an aggro deck. What do you think? What does it top out at?
I don't know, man. That seems gross.
It seems so. Thunderbolt
Hellkite.
How many lands does it play? 23? 23,
sir.
So you don't need Farseeks in that deck. Oh, you might need them for the mana, though. Like to actually.
Yeah.
Like, they actually cast your spells.
Yeah, I think so.
Because you have, like, you have that... Are you running that Dreg Mangler?
No, it's... Well, no.
Whoa. No Dreg Mangler?
Not in this version, apparently.
What do you got going on in there? Can you read the list again? Maybe I totally missed it.
Okay, I'm going to fetch it up right in front of me. So, it plays... 2 Varrels, 4 Flint Hoof Boar, 4 Thundermaw Hellkite, 4 Bonfire of the Damned, 4 Stranglered Geist, 4 Huntmaster of Fells, 4 Falcon Wrath Aristocrats, 4 Arbor Elf, 4 Farseek, 2 Putrefy, and 1 Abrupt Decay.
Man, take out those Farseeks and put in Dreg Manglers, dude. You'll be good. Oh, man.
That was the older Jund.
Yeah,
right?
I know, because that card is pretty sweet, man. It's sweet. I don't know, man. I don't know about this Farseek thing. Am I way off base on this or what?
So, the issue is like the only way you really get away with it is the fact that your 4-drop, you're potentially 4-drop in Falcon Wrath Aristocrat is insane, and the haste makes him very, very good.
Well, how about have a 3-drop with haste and then a 4-drop with haste?
Yeah.
Instead of casting a Farseek.
I agree. It's likely not optimally tuned. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about Farseek KYC. I'm going to tell you as a friend.
As a friend.
Well, I still remember GB Toronto. Kibler was crying because he couldn't win a single game in GB Toronto.
Yeah.
So it still burned my memories. Just like... So guess what the over and under is the number of
the games that
I've won.
Yeah.
Zero.
Zero.
There's a dart in your neck. There's a fucking dart in your neck.
You're crazy, dude.
You're crazy, man.
Scott, the last deck I want to talk about is the one that Chapin just posted today on his Facebook page as to what he would play this weekend if he had an important tournament. So,
let me guess.
Well, you know what it is, but it's an updated list. Right. It's an updated list, and I wonder what you and John think about this particular list. It's pretty saucy, and we're going to link it to our listeners.
Are you
going to
put it
in the show notes?
Chat so you can link it to your host?
Yeah, I did.
Just saying, bro. Just saying.
So what do you think, Scott? Because I haven't touched control at all in this format.
This is a typical Chapin deck.
I mean, like, it's... If control's your thing, it's fine. If control's your thing, this is a fine deck. If you are a capable control player, this is a fine deck. Cards I don't like. Desperate Ravings, one of. Fucking make me die. Like, that, I hate that card so much. So much I hate that card. But otherwise, like, everything else is fine. Like, I would just cut the Desperate Ravings and just make it a Gilded Lotus. That's it.
What?
And then I'd play this. Yeah.
A Gilded Lotus?
He was playing Gilded Lotus.
This is a mind-blowing view.
He was playing Gilded Lotus's, if you read his article that was up this week, he was working with Brian Cole on the Grixis deck that he took to Miami, and he was very happy with it. But like they were like three Gilded Lotuses in the initial build or something, which is just way too many. But the Gilded Lotus interacts so favorably with so many of the cards in the deck. Like Ral Zarek makes him power out your sixes really quick. Mizzia Mortars coincidentally cost three of one color to overload.
What sixes? You're two Aetherlings?
So you've got two Aetherlings. You've got, you could do Olivia Voldaren with...
You could play another Gilded Lotus.
No, you only have to play one. But you've got Olivia Voldaren with the ping. You've got Mizzia Mortars overloaded. You've got, you know, the other thing to remember as well is he's playing four Divination for a reason. Like, Divination draws two, it costs three mana. Dissipate also, like you can play it and then leave Dissipate up. So, you know, it's not unreasonable to play one. I just personally, I hate Desperate Ravings. If you're fine with Desperate Ravings, then just leave it as is. But I mean, like, the rest of the cards are fine. Three of Izzet Staticaster is probably very good, especially combined with, you know, Pillar of Flame, Turn and Burn. Like, you eventually get the 2-for-1. Cards that I really, really like in the list are the full book of Far and Away is very, very good. With a lot of the decks being creatures, you really have to play Grixis, like, as an incremental tempo deck. Like, you kind of just have to, like, grind out your opponent to no cards and then just win with whatever other cards you have left is. Far and Away is a very, very good card, very powerful, because both ends of it are effective. You know,
yeah, Far and Away, the best card in this deck.
I didn't even pick it there. But, like, the point is that both sides of it, like, Turn and Burn is, like, Turn and Burn has really 1.5 modes. Like, Turn is not really all that good. Like, Izzet Staticaster makes it not a terrible thing, but, like, Turn and Burn is a straight removal spell for 5 mana. You know? It's very occasionally a 2-for-1, but this is the card that you're going to, more often than not, just cast for 5. Far and Away, however, is one of those spells that you could very easily squeak good value out of either side of it. You know, like, if you're playing that on time. And that's very, very relevant. The 4 of Divination, I think, is pretty spicy. Like, that's interesting. It's obviously just playing it over Think Twice because of the sheer, you know, volume of card draw. Like, you basically just go, yep, I'm going to tap out this turn, I'm going to draw two and make sure I hit on my land drops. But, you know, Divination's interesting.
Let's talk about Divination, right? Because you said it's basically he's playing it over Think Twice, right? Mm-hmm. But he's got Dissipates in the deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we just talked about how good counterspells are, right? So, like, maybe we don't want to play Divination. Maybe we want to play 4, Think Twice, and then, like, replace that Desperate Ravings with, like, a Counterflux, you know, and, like, play more of that kind of game.
So I think what you see here is, like, between the sideboard and the main deck, you just see a commitment to, you know, a concession of the fact that I'm going to win the creature battle by killing them all. You know, like, there's no proactivity, really, in this list. This is sort of like a... while you're not killing me, I'm going to do stuff that's going to further my plan. And while you're playing guys and trying to kill me, I'm just going to kill all of your guys until you have none left. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, 4 pillars, Ral Zarek for bolts, Staticasters. Like, these are all, you know, very clearly creature control methods. I mean, 4 Far and Away and 2 Turn and Burn, that's a shit ton of removal. You know, and if you look to the sideboard, it's even crazier, right? Like you would think that, sure, I just want more counter magic, you know, for the... if that's my game plan. But, like, you look to the sideboard, you got 2 Counterflux and 2 Negate. Those are very clearly just the ones for the control matchup. And then you just see a lot more other, like, 2 Barter in Blood and a Rolling Trembler, or a Tembler. Like, those are, you know, the clear nods to additional aggro hate. And then just, like, other random spicy stuff, like an extra Aetherling, an extra Bolivia, you know, obviously just to kind of, like, tune based on the match, right? Like, if he's in an aggressive match, you want one less Aetherling.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with Divination?
So my point is that you don't need the counter magic. The Divination don't have to become counterspells.
Yeah, I mean, you say that until, like... I'm not saying Divination comes counterspell. I said Desperation. I said turn Desperation into counterspell into a counterspell. So you have 3.
Turn it into Essence Scatter. That'd be hilarious.
And then turn your Divinations into Think Twices. Because, like, what I'm saying is, like, also, you don't have to counter creatures, right? But... like, if you can get owned by, like, a Rakdos's Return, right? This is the kind of deck that would get owned by a Rakdos's Return.
True.
Because you have, like, one threat, which Junk can just kill.
Yep.
And then you might have a Planeswalker, and they're just like, empty your hand, dome your planeswalker, right? And you're just sitting there with your pants down like, oh, shit. I tapped out for this divination, and I got these two cards in my hand, and now I have to discard.
Yeah.
Like.
So in all fairness, I agree with you. If Jund is the worst matchup for this deck, and post-board it actually has, you know, potentially a reasonably good matchup against the rest of the field, do you still play the Scissors deck?
I'm not saying change the deck. I'm just saying Divination over Think Twice might not be the play. I don't know. Plus, I'll make the concession. I'm not a Patrick Chapin, so yeah. I mean, you know, he put four Divinations in there. Yeah, maybe that's the right choice. But let's just, you know, is Divination really better than Think Twice in this deck? I don't know.
I think because you don't have Sphinx's Revelation, I think you really just need to be getting the most possible value out of your draw spells as you can. And I just think, like, for the mana comparison, like, Divination is a one-shot, you get the cards, where I recognize, like, Think Twice conceivably allows you to be better with your mana. But I think overall, it's
see,
not
like,
necessarily
where this is very, like, this deck is very conflicted, because I'm starting to see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I agree with you in the sense that, like, I'm looking, like, what can you play instant speed here? You can't play a lot, right? You have, like, Pillar of Flame, which is sorcery, Nizia Mortar's Dreadbore, which are sorceries.
Right.
And then, like, finally you get your creature removal, like the Turn and Burn, the Faraways. The Faraways is instant, right?
Yeah, but they're both basically, like, five drops for max value.
Yeah. But the thing is, also, he has Snapcaster Mage, which makes the tension, right? Because, like, you have Snapcaster Mage, which you want to leave mana open for so you can do stuff with. But all of a sudden, now Snapcaster Mage is like a three-mana, like, Pillar of Flame, you know? Like, or, like, a... It's you're playing it like just to rebuy something, and I don't know, is that good enough?
I think that's the whole point of it, right? Like, you get to play two Snapcasters, and you get to cheat on a couple copies of some of your cards.
This feels like a really bad Jund deck, then, to me.
That's entirely possible. Without Thrag Tusk.
This just feels like a blue, red, black Jund deck. That it's just trying to, like, impersonate Jund, right?
I don't disagree with that.
Well, what do you get from this deck that you don't get in Jund?
You get to play... Well, you get to draw more cards, I think.
What if we play our own Rakdos Return in this deck? Yeah!
So, like,
then we can play a Gilded Lotus.
There's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, I can get behind that one.
That would be something to, like, tap all that mana for. Sink it all into that.
I think if you had a Gilded Lotus at that point, like, if we're playing a Rakdos Return, you know? Like one or two, like, I don't know. I would cut a Staticaster to the board though too, because, like, I don't know. Do you need three? Like, you're picking mana doors probably before, like, you know. You don't really want to shoot. I guess you get, like, the delay by shooting, like, a Stranglerude guys. Like, what are you getting from these Staticasters? I mean, they block pretty sweet. That's another thing. Is Staticaster's an instant speed thing that you're going to play? And it's on turn three when you have Divination mana, which is weird. There's tension there. There's a lot of tension in this deck. Right? Would you guys agree or no?
No, I mean, I agree with you. But I think it's worth playing to figure it out.
Yeah, it's definitely a good shell. I mean, this is the kind of deck Chapin knows how to play, though. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Every time, like, I play these Chapin decks... Like, I feel
it,
like,
sucks, right?
It does suck. It sucks for me because, like, there's all these tensions are probably, like, pivotal play, like, moments where you're supposed to shift your play. And, like, I can't do that shit. Like, I just want, like, a plan, and I want to, like, play the deck. Like, I don't want to be, like, masterminding, like, things, like, six turns in the future, you know? Like...
Oh. Good old mid-range decks. Like...
I don't know, man. This is probably a pretty sweet deck. I don't know, man.
Well, it looks sweet, because, like, if I played this, I'd be the only one in the room playing it.
Yeah.
Literally. So.
Yeah.
And regret it, and be made fun of.
I bet you, this is like this deck is like 10 games away from tuning. I bet you play 10 games of this, and you'll know, like, what needs to go and what needs to.
Or if it's up your alley or not.
Yeah.
So.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What do you think would be the worst matchup for this deck? Probably the Hexproof deck, no?
No, I think post-board, it's probably fine. Like, post-board, they have a
post-board
shit ton of answers.
Yeah. Post-board is fine, but I'm talking about main deck.
I mean, like, they four-fars. Or yeah, I guess it's away, whatever the fucking sack engine is. So, like, that's reasonable. I mean, they got Pillar of Flames for voices, right? So, I don't know, maybe. Like, it's probably no worse than Jund, main deck. And, like, Hexproof's bad, but it's not totally unwinnable.
I mean, Jund has bonfires, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. They have the main deck Fars. I think Far goes a big way in that matchup. But
yeah, no doubt. I mean, no doubt the Edict effect goes great against the Hexproof deck. Like,
yeah.
But you only have four of them. Like,
well, you get six with Snapcaster Mage. You know, but I'm just nitpicking, so we can.
Five mana later, like, sack your dude. Okay, I'll sack my Arbor Elf that I played like four turns ago or whatever.
Yeah. Anyways, I mean, it's probably not great. I think Hexproof is probably, like, the deck that has the best game, you know, best match percentages against everything except for itself.
Okay, so what I was going to say is maybe play some games against Hexproof with this deck.
See what you think?
And see what you think.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can get behind that. You should do that on your stream, KYT.
I'm just going to play some Nivik Cyclops deck and, like, regret the time that I've sunk.
I feel like that deck's not good.
You think?
I feel like... I feel like it's not.
Okay. I love you.
Oh, man. I love you.
Just, I love you. I don't know what to say. I love you.
He's like, I love you. I'm going to play it anyways, but I love you. Oh,
so who knows? I don't know if you're friends with him, Jay, but Andre just won the Moto PTQ.
Really?
Red Green Aggro, one of Doug Potter's friends.
Wow.
So he just took that down. So congrats to him. Shouts to him.
For sure.
And, are you friends with him?
No, I know of him. I don't think I've ever talked to him.
Okay.
He's not. He's not in.
I don't know. Group. Yeah, I don't know who the. I don't know who the Calgary guys are. Who the Edmonton guys are, and I just mixed them all together in my head.
Wow.
Yeah, but he was at the GPT I played in. He went to GP Vegas. He's known. He's a known entity for sure.
Sounds like he plays a lot of Magic.
He plays a lot of Magic.
Man, maybe he should be podcasting about this stuff.
He probably knows.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Sweet.
But he played the main deck of the GP Top 8, basically, and just added Domri Rads to the deck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They thought it was insane, and was able to take it down. John with the Pawn. Far and away is the best card.
Yeah.
far goes a long way. It looks far, you could say.
Yeah. So,
not all nerds like puns, see?
Yeah.
See?
So, Jay, you played in a GPT, you did?
I played in a GPT, I did.
And how did you do? What'd you play?
It was fucking terrible. So first, we were going to play in a standard GPT, which I was not excited for, but I figured, whatever, I'll play this Naya deck everyone's been jibber-jabbering about. And then my friend Jason Clough, actually the guy who ended up winning the Sign and Blood thing that we had, he was supposed to bring the decks. And what did he do? He forgot them at the store the night before the GPT.
Good.
So he phones me at like 8 in the morning, and he's like, so we have a slight problem. And so we tried to get a hold of the store owner. He wouldn't answer his phone. So then, you know, I had the work phone, and it was ringing all weekend, as goddammit. So, you know, I couldn't really, I decided, you know, it's not fair to the other people. I'm going to play in this GPT, and then I'm just not going to be, you know, giving it my 100% attention. And it's standard, and it was like $35 fucking dollars for standard. So I was like, or $30 or something like that. I was like, nah. If I didn't have the work phone, for sure. But it was run by Trilogy Games, and it was like one of the biggest, if not the biggest, GPT Calgary's ever had. Like, we had like, I don't know, 50 or 60 people show up to a GPT, which is like a lot in Calgary because people don't like to go to GPTs in Calgary.
Okay.
I don't know if we talked about that
last
episode, but basically like noobs don't care about the GPTs, but they care about Pro Tours. Did we talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, so like a lot of people came and there was $1,000 prize and stuff and it was enormous and all this stuff was all this good stuff. But yeah, so I didn't get to play in that, so we decided we would play in the limited GPT instead, the sealed, which is always fun, you know, sealed, my favorite format. I've never played this format before, so except for the pre-release. So I was like, okay, whatever, we'll play it. So we're going in, we're playing, I open like a 5-color unplayable pool. I take my first opponent to 3 games, and like I said, it's unplayable. Like, my pool is shit. And I think I'm pretty sure I'm playing 5-color. Yeah, I think I am. And then, in my second match, we're just about to start game 3, and the judge comes over as we're shuffling up, and I present, and he's like, Jay, we have to talk to you. And I'm like, oh no, what about? And then, so he's like, we have to give you a game loss because you didn't register your basic lands. So,
what a noob.
Yep, super noob.
Oh god,
super noob. So yeah, so that was how my GPT went. I went 0-2 drop with a game loss because I'm a noob. A super noob.
Oh, I'm so glad you went 0-2 drop because I don't want to talk about limited.
No way, man. No way. I'm not down with that. Not down with that.
That
but
was a good noob.
Because that's how it went. So, like, I heard some people talking about how they weren't going to make us. They like somebody was like, you have to register your basic land. And then somebody else was like, no. And then I was like, oh, sweet. That's fucking sweet. Plus, like, why would I have to register my basic land for a fucking limited GPT, like, with, like, 10 people in it? Like, there was, like, 16 people or something. Because it was a drop event run concurrently with the old regular GPT there. So I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. No basic land registering. Who cares? Like, it's, like, 5 islands and, like, 11 mountains, who fucking cares about them? Yeah, suck on that, everybody. And then, no, apparently, ultra noob moment. You have to register your basic lands in a GPT. Just FYI.
Just yikes.
Yep, super yikes. So that was my GPT experience. Yeah. So, you know,
you were a noob.
Super noob. That's why I don't write articles for a pro website. Because I'm a super noob. But then,
even though the article you did write was like one of the most viewed articles on the history
of all time.
I believe it was the most viewed. But yeah, and then so after that, it was my buddy Derek's birthday, so we went to karaoke, and all the magic nerds showed up, and we had a fucking amazing time. And there's some pictures on the Facebook. And I have to give a shout out to Remington, and I don't know how to say his last name. It's kind of like Domri Raid, but he's like native and French, so maybe it's like Rade, like Remington Rade, je te plie plus, or something like that. But he won. He won the GPT. He fucking crushed that shit. So good for him. That's actually super sweet. He's only been playing Magic for like 2 years or something. And, man, the first time we played Magic, he was the fucking worst. And he's just like a drunk idiot. It's always sweet.
Awesome.
But don't forget to register your fucking basic lands in your limited pool, kids.
Yeah, a GPT is a little bit higher competition level than Friday Night Magic, kids.
Yeah, just FYI. Just FYI. Just super FYI. Register your basic land. What a fucking noob.
I love how like two people are saying two different things and Jay just takes the laziest approach.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, you don't have to register? Okay, I'm not gonna register.
Yeah, they're like, it's gonna be competitive and everything, rules enforcement. I'm like, whatever, I don't know what the fuck that means. That means you can't take no takesies backsies. No cheat McGee's. Yeah, I'm down with that. That's right. No takesies, backsies. Let's rock it. And then, no, it also means you have to write down the tip cards you opened. You have to write down the fucking, which token you got. Got to make sure that's the right one. So yeah, just don't fuck that up, kid.
Yeesh.
I'm looking real quick on standard before we move on. I'm looking at this Peter Ingram's Dami Naya deck.
Yep.
That seems sick. That seems like something I play in standard.
So it's funny you should say that. That's the one that came in sixth?
I think so. I don't know what it came in. It just said Peter Ingram's Domri Naya.
I'm going to look right now. Yeah. So I played this list on my stream, actually, on Monday. And I fucking hated it.
Okay.
Bonfires in the Main were bad. Hot Masters,
There you have it, folks.
I don't know. It was, it just didn't feel like I had the same sort of power as, the deck that I've been playing. It's very similar, but I don't know. The Bonfires in the Main, I just felt like were...
This is much like your deck, except for instead of Bonfires running, like, Nizium Warriors, right?
No, I've been running, like, just more guys... I've been so I had three Celestia Charms. Anyways, I had three Celestia Charms and four Rampagers, fourth Smiter, and two Sublime Archangels. And the sideboard's, like, pretty different, actually.
Okay. Yeah, but, I mean... Like, I think this deck seems fine. Like, yeah, maybe the Bonfire stuck. I don't know. It seems like Bonfire just gives you those lucky moments. And not only that, you have a bunch of dudes, so you're just like, oh, Bonfire you, and so you're all my dudes. You know?
Yeah. Basically, you're in the same sort of Naya deck, right? Like, Domi Raid's great with Boros Reckoner and Gorklan Rampager. Flint Hoof 4 has been surprisingly good. For me, like, fast. I love me some fast bacon. Voice of Resurgence, Thundermite Hellkite, both very good cards. Like, Hellkite wins you games that you have no right winning otherwise. The deck's very good. It's the reason I'm playing it.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I'm sorry to pop that back in, but I was looking at these decks, and I'm like, this looks like a reasonable deck for standard.
Yep.
Maybe I'll try it out at FNM. Maybe I'll try it out.
Maybe you will.
Maybe I will. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it's effing them. All those people, they don't know how to play Magic, so... It's like,
make sure
they register
basic fucking land.
Copy of noob.
Fucking noob. I actually just, like, can't even believe I fucking did that.
Me either. That's why it's so funny.
Limited champion, folks.
Super limited. Super limited champion. That's the FYIs. No, it was a learning lesson, right? That's what it's about. It's about science. Yeah, you think, like, the science teacher knows that if you mix these two things, they're going to blow up and create a big smell? Yeah, he fucking knows. But he's just doing it for the kids, you know?
That's day one stuff, Jay. That's day one stuff. Day one.
I'll remember that when I'm on day nine.
Oh, man.
So, GP Calgary.
Oh, man, it's going to be sick.
We posted on Mana Deprived this morning, so Thursday, all of the details about the party. So go to manadeprived.com. You can check out the details for the party. It's going to be, like, super sick, epic. Jay and I are going to be there Friday signing tokens and doing all sorts of, like, cool
shit. Yeah, whatever, man.
Shit.
Playing Anti-League for dicks. I'll bring my cube even for some jabronis.
Yup.
Jabronis.
Yeah. So
make words up.
So when you come and register, make sure you come to, you know, the face-to-face games booth, and you'll see us sitting there and signing
come
some shit.
Come say hello.
It's gonna
come
be awesome.
Get some jabronis.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And then the main event, we're gonna be, like, VIPing it up. So make sure you come and hang out.
So try not to bother us while we're doing that, but we will be there so that, at least for me anyway, ease of use. You can come and just find me, use me up. No big deal. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
We're going to chill.
It's going to be
and then Saturday
time.
Night, we're going to have a sweet party!
Party! Yeah, so super, super excited. That's going to be outstanding. Make sure you get there. Capacity on the venue is 250. So,
oh, shit, really?
Yep.
Easy.
So, I think it's going to be okay. But it's going to be crazy ass fun. So we got to make sure that the door is going to be at 9:30, and the party starts at 10. So have dinner beforehand and make sure that you show up. So
yeah, definitely.
Special huge thanks to Face-to-Face Games for putting on the venue. And major, awesome, unbelievable thank you to KYT providing the entertainment for the evening.
Fucking balls.
What's the entertainment?
Karaoke.
Naked Chicks.
Oh, Naked Chicks singing karaoke?
Naked Chicks singing karaoke.
Oh, man. I
That's
be
the
trading
best kind
instead.
Of karaoke,
I would be
by the way.
Yeah, he said that'd be sick, but I'll be trading. Yeah, so that's the deal. It's going to be like crazy-ass sickness. And also, the last bit of sort of like promo shit that I got to get in here is we've got the A-Team raffle is back. I'm bringing it back.
What's that?
I'm bringing it back.
Oh, that's right. The Jack and Jill.
The Jack and Jill, bitches.
What up?
I don't know what a Jack and Jill
is. So, okay. So
just sit back and relax.
Just sit back and relax and enjoy.
Sounds like my kind of Jill.
So, so as the best man for Jay's wedding, I have to do something for him to, you know, say thanks and help them, you know, raise some money for the wedding. So, you know, I'm not in town to be able to have a Jack and Jill. So what I thought I'd do is...
Sorry, is this like a real thing? Did you just make this up?
No,
Jack and Jill?
This is a real thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can Google it.
Yeah, you should.
Did you just make this up?
This is actually why he gave me the best man, by the way. He's like, yeah, your wedding was awesome, and you guys did it all yourselves, so be my best man and plan my wedding for me.
Yeah, what the fuck? I don't know any of this weird terminology.
Yeah. So anyway, so what we're doing is we're taking a bunch of donations. Prizes are rolling in, like, left, right, and center. Signandblood.com is donating some stuff. Jeff Woods, Rockstar on Twitter, just donated like fucking three huge lots of crazy fucking foils of Russian shit, like foreign foils and everything. So I have to put those on the site. And then we've got a whole bunch of other people donating some stuff. Durfington's donating a Misty mat.
Sweet.
So like that.
To me?
No, like to the. So they're all going into the prize lot.
Yeah, you're not getting all this stuff.
And then everybody's going to buy tickets. Tickets are $5 a piece. And all of the proceeds are going to Jay and Beans for their wedding.
Oh,
So we're going to use the money.
Crazy.
We're going to use the money to, you know, we're going to give it to the happy couple. Jay's going to enjoy his bachelor party. He's going to enjoy his wedding. And it's going to be all because we all, you know, want to show our love for you. Now, that said, I understand that, you know, a lot of people these days don't like doing something for nothing. So that's what the raffle's for.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, even though if you are one of those people, you're kind of a bitch, but, you know.
Wow. Okay.
We added some stuff to the raffle anyways for you greedy bastards.
For you greedy fuckers.
Who can't, like, out of the goodness of your heart, give $5. $5, just don't get that extra, like, Big Mac at McDonald's, and instead, send the jabronis to Scotty.
That's right. So anyway, every $5 that you contribute, you'll get an entry. You get your name in for each individual prize lot. So you can't win, and that's all it is. That's how it's going to go. For each prize, we're going to draw out of everybody's name. So every $5 that you pay gets you another shot. So it's exponentially awesome. So we're going to run it until we'll do the draw actually in August. So you've got about, you know, like a month, month and a half to kind of get in there. So knowing our amazing community, by the time this actually goes to draw, the prize lots are going to be completely absurd.
Yeah, it's going to be insane.
It's going to be really big. So, you know.
And we know that you have $5, all right? Because you play Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
And this game costs like $1 million to play. So, pony it up, listeners.
Pony it up. So we've had a bunch of people already that have chipped in. I can tell you, in all fairness, that Frankie Richard was the first person to actually buy tickets.
Oh my god!
Wow. Damn.
He's such a baller.
So I just wanted to. He had to get the special mention for being first, and a huge thanks to Frankie for that. So.
Well, I am super shocked. And
super shocked.
I am. Don't make this about you. But this is crazy. This is crazy. So I really appreciate it. Thank you, you guys. That's insane. So hopefully it turns out well. I definitely could use some money because weddings are not cheap, and I should just have a non-sexual gay partner for the rest of my life. That would be a lot cheaper and more fun, and then also the balance would be easier. But, you know, whatever. Yeah, no, that's crazy. That is crazy. So, yeah, sweet. I actually am gonna donate some crazy shit. I'm gonna find some crazy shit around y'all. And I'm gonna donate it.
Down around here.
Down around y'all.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think that's fucking sweet. Let's all go to my bachelor party at GB Calgary. And let's all party up hard there. And let's do some booze cubing, maybe.
So I'm actually booze cubing this weekend.
Ooh,
for the express purpose of practicing for Calgary.
Aha. Aha. Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah. Joe.
KYT, I just put your PTQ deck list in the chat, by the way.
John's like, booze you, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get to stop hearing about it because the community has, like, completely...
It's fun, John. It's fun. It's like Juice Cube, but
dude,
better.
I'm sure it's awesome if you drink. I'm sure it's awesome.
It is.
It's actually
yeah.
really entertaining to watch also.
I almost had a beer today, by the way, guys.
Really?
Wow, it must have been rough.
No, I was like, you know, I was cleaning up this garage, tons of stuff. Like, I was down there for hours, right?
Yeah.
I'm loving the story already.
Where was your garage? Why is your garage underground?
Okay, so it wasn't my garage. It was my wife's dad's garage. So we're cleaning this up, stacking all these books, like moving to spiders crawling all over me.
Oh, my God. Like, fuck
yeah.
that shit.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, I'm sweating. Like, my shirt is, like, stuck to my body. I'm like, it's like I'm wearing, like, a damp towel. And
oh,
my
God, John.
Yeah, it's gross. It's gross. And then, so her dad's helping me, and her stepdad, John, is helping me. So we're all down there, like, working. And then the stepdad, John, goes, you know what? I think we should have a cold one. And I'm like, yeah, we should have a cold one, guys. And then he's like...
I love juice.
I'm like, a root beer?
I love root beer. It's my favorite. What do you have, John? Oh, I'll have a mug or a Barks if you have it.
I'll have a Barks.
You have a Barks?
That's my jam, Barks. So they both got beers, and I'm like, man, you know? I should just drink a beer with these guys because, like, it just seems like the appropriate thing to do. But I decided against it.
Okay.
So that's the end of the story.
Oh, man. You know what else is good if you drink? Your stories.
Oh, man. So, anyways.
Holy shit.
Can we talk about M14?
Oh, man, sure.
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah. Let's fucking do it.
Now that we're done talking about Standard and Booze Cube. Oh, man. So M14, have you guys seen? You've seen like some of the cards spoiled, right?
Yep.
Okay. What do you think is the best card that's been spoiled at M14 so far?
Oh, so loaded.
This is gonna be great. Scott's gonna pick something totally unplayable and garbage, of course. But I'm looking forward to the rest of your guys' answers.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Suck a dick.
I think the green planeswalker is the best one.
Oh, me too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys
I think
are trolling me. You're trolling me right now.
Bringing it back.
I quit.
Okay, I got. Do you have one to throw out there while I'm scanning? I haven't looked at.
Well, while you're scanning, I'll throw something out there just to wet everyone's lips a little bit, you know? One of the cards that I'm looking forward to getting in foil for my EDH deck, my zombie EDH deck, is, I think it's called Rise of the Dark Realms. And it's a 9 mana?
Yeah, 9 mana? Black 7. Yeah.
Okay, so it's black.
Holy
black
fuck, black 7.
Yeah.
He did say EDH. He said EDH.
This is for my zombie EDH deck.
Holy shit.
And so basically, it reanimates everyone's graveyard. It says, put all creatures from all graveyards onto the battlefield under your control.
That's sweet.
All right, that's pretty sweet, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I want to get for my EDH deck. I'm just trying to wet the whistle as KYT is looking for the best card.
Dirty whistle wetter, eh?
Working, yeah.
Is this the first time that Corrupt has been back for a while?
For a long time, since like M10 maybe even.
Man, I played Mutilate and Corrupt before, and nostalgia, man. This card
Mono
was
Black
sick.
Is back.
We gotta stop.
That card was sick. Come on, Doomblade's black too.
I know.
So.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, wait. This is getting derailed. Come on, man. Pick the best card. It can't be Corrupt.
The best card, you beeholes.
It's Corrupt, man.
It's not Corrupt. I'll give you a hint.
Colossal Whale? What the fuck is this?
Oh, man.
Come on, Scott. Scott's seen more of the spoiler than me, so...
I haven't seen any of the spoiler except for what Maddie Studios posts on my Twitter, which is that Mono Black is back.
Oh, gosh. You haven't seen... Jay, do some research.
All right, it looks like a terrible set. It looks fucking garbage.
I'm going to read you some of the stuff that people
That's
are saying
that...
is...
Whoa.
Here's some of the stuff that people are saying is, like, really good.
Best card from the set is Doomblade and Scavenging Ooze, but Lifebane Zombie is pretty sweet.
All right. Bane what does Lifebane Zombie do? Read it.
Lifebane Zombie is black 1, rare, creature zombie warrior. 3/1, intimidate. When Lifebane Zombie enters the battlefield, target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose a green or white creature card from it and exile that card. When you think about what creatures right now are green and or white, the list is absurdly long.
Eh.
Like,
yeah.
You can pull Thragtusks. You can pull Voice of Resurgences. You can pull Boros Reckoners. You can pull Angel Serenities. You can pull Acidic Slimes. this card's very good. In current standard, this card's very good.
Pretty sick card against junk reanimator, it seems.
Yeah,
that one's not nice. That card is it's pretty mean. So Lifebane Zombie, I like it. I like that as a good choice. Other cards that are getting a lot of hype, Imposing Sovereign. 2 mana.
Yeah, looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, colorless and a white. It's a human. Creatures your opponent control enter the battlefield tapped. It's a 2/1. Little hate bear.
Now, it should be noted that the person that spoiled this card was Mike Flores. Now, we chuckle, but traditionally... Traditionally, Mike Flores' spoilers are some of, if not the most tournament playable cards, or end up being some of the most format defining cards ever. So, like, he spoiled Lotus Cobra, that was a big one. He spoiled Noble Hierarch, that was a big one. He recently spoiled War Leader's Helix, also, which, as we're coming to find out now, as the format starts to settle down, is very good right now.
Yeah.
The card is really good.
Yeah.
So, that shouldn't go unnoticed, you know?
So what's the card he's spoiling right now?
So Imposing Sovereign, 2/1, white 1, creature human.
Oh, yes.
Creatures your opponents control enter the battlefield tapped. Like, this is exactly the card you want in Blitz.
Blind Obedience, but a little better.
Yeah, in Blitz, on a guy that swings. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Seems nutty.
What do you guys think of the new cycle of, like, protection guys? Like, the cycle of hate cards?
So we got the... Let's read them for the people.
So we My Zombie was one of them, right?
Okay, yep. Then we got Friend Slayer, or Fiend Slayer?
Fiend
Friend
Slayer Paladin.
Yeah.
Friend Slayer.
We got Rachel and Ross.
Paladin. So Fiend
what
Slayer,
the fuck?
Yeah, it's a 1, white. It has first strike, it's a human knight, lifelink, and it says, can't be the target of black or red spells your opponent controls. It's a 2/2.
Did you see the art? It's just like...
The art is dumb.
It's so good.
Like, who is this guy?
He's a friend player, man. If you're his friend, you better watch out.
So we haven't spoiled the blue one yet. I'm anxious to see what that one is.
Wait, the blue one is Tidebinder Mage, no?
Yeah.
Tidebinder!
isn't it?
Yeah.
Is Tide
that
Rider
makes sense.
A 2-drop or a 3-drop?
Yeah, it's a 2-drop.
Then it's not the same one.
Okay, but it taps a red or green creature.
Oh, maybe it
right.
is then.
Yeah, it could be like a...
Okay, read it. Do it. Read it, okay. Bitch!
Tide Binder Mage, all right? Double
the
blue.
Fucking Tide Binder. Binding
Double
all
blue.
The tides. Yeah.
It's a merfolk wizard.
A merfolk?
And
merfolk?
Then it says, yeah, it's a merfolk wizard. Shit. When Tidebinder Mage Sweet. Enters the battlefield, tap target red or green creature an opponent controls. That seems kind of like, eh, who cares, right? Listen to this. That creature doesn't untap during its controller's untap step for as long as you control Tidebinder Mage.
Like Dungeon Geists.
But it's for 2 mana.
Wow, Zors. Fucking
yeah, blue,
super
blue.
Blowout.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
And then the last one that's pretty sick that's spoiled, they haven't spoiled the red one yet. Witch Stalker? Green, green, oh, 1.
I love it.
I know. Green, green, 1. 3/3 creature wolf. Hexproof.
Oh, this card is so fucking boring.
Whenever,
people started to cry about this one.
Whenever an opponent casts a blue or black spell during your turn, put a +1/+1 counter on Witch Stalker. So,
oh, baby.
You go like, Voice of Resurgence on 2, Witch Stalker on 3, your blue, white, red flash opponent goes, saves up his cards and moves to sideboard. Anyways.
Well, I love this entire cycle of cards. That's probably my favorite part of the set, I just realized.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty sweet. Like, the white one really reminds me of... It's a worse version than...
Paladin on Vec?
Yeah. Right? It's worse,
yeah.
Right? Yeah,
it gains life. I don't know if it's worse. Because gaining life, like, in a red matchup seems sick.
Yeah. I mean, it's really well templated. I think that like, as a card, it's pretty sweet. Because
like
it's good.
It's got first strike, so you know, yeah, it doesn't have protection, but you can still block anything in the Blitz deck pretty much. Because
yeah.
you're first striking it out, and you're gaining life. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's bad.
No, the art.
No,
insane.
No, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, the artwork's crazy.
No,
what
now,
else is crazy?
The big question here is the Chandra, right? We haven't talked about this.
No.
So, this is Chandra Pyromancer got spoiled. She's supposed to be the face of the set, okay? It's supposed to be like, here's your Planeswalker. Come and get it. So, we got Chandra Pyromancer, 2 colorless, red. All right? It starts with 4 loyalty, and its +1 is this. Chandra Pyromancer deals 1 damage to target player and 1 damage to up to 1... target creature that player controls. That creature can't block this turn. And then it's got a 0 ability. So 0 ability, exile the top card of your library, you may play it this turn. -7, exile the top 10 cards of your library, choose an instant or sorcery card exiled this way, copy it 3 times, you may cast the copies without paying their mana cost.
Yeah, so this is one of those cards where it's, like, the first 2 abilities seem very, very good in, like, a mid-range deck with lots of creatures. Like Naya, so, obligatory name drop. So, yeah, beware incoming. I was talking to Willie Edel on Facebook, you know, because, you know, he's going to be on my stream on Tuesday, which you guys should check out.
Oh yeah, I saw that on your Twitter. Sick, that's sick news.
It's fucking unreal. Anyways, so I'm just playing beside myself.
He just lost his mind right now.
Yeah.
So I was talking. I was talking to him about the card, and he's like, "I'm very excited actually to see this, like to play it in Nye mid range because, you know, you've got the ability to remove a blocker and still clock while you're increasing loyalty on the Planeswalker. It's like." That's really good by itself. But then, you know, you basically have draw a card for free, one-sided, in a mid-range match. Now, this can be pretty good, especially in concert with cards like Domirid, right? So, like, you can, you know, you can peek at the card with Domri. If it's a creature, pick it up. And if it's not, like, it's a land or whatever, you just play it, with Chandra's ability. Like, it seems pretty sweet. The only thing with that is, like, the minus, the ultimate ability is obviously geared for, like, a Grixis-style deck or, like, just a straight-up red burn deck, right? So this may also be good in just, like, a mono-red aggressive deck or, like, a mono-red mid-range deck where you can, like, find, you know, a bolt and hit it three times or, like, a lava axe. Is that a thing in this
I don't know. Set? I like, if you got a Naya deck, why not do it with, like, War Leader's Helix?
That's also pretty sick. That's fucking gross, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, War Leader Helix is kind of awkward in a Naya deck anyways. Like, you have, like, eight, like, I don't know how many Chandras running. Maybe two Chandras?
Yeah.
You have, like, six, four drops? Like, eh. Like,
you may
like
you'd even be, like, yeah, you may be two. You may just be one and one. I'm not sure.
But even, like, if you're running Searing Spears, which is not unreasonable in Naya deck, you know?
Yeah.
Then, like, a Searing Spear is still, like, 9 damage, you know? And, like, if you get the ultimate Chandra and, like, 9 damage doesn't kill them...
Sure.
Then there's a problem, right?
You know what? Like, Boros Charm is a very prominent sideboard card as well.
Oh, sure.
Being able to, like, 12 your opponent is fine.
Yeah, so... So I don't know. What do you guys think? So you think you like it in the Naya midrange, maybe?
I'm actually really pissed that you're out on pre-order, because I was going to buy some, but...
Yeah, I'm really pissed I'm out on pre-order, too, but, you know, I'm just a little shop, you know? I don't have a lot of, like, super, like, stock, like, you know, other shops.
Yeah.
But doesn't Face have them for pre-order?
Oh, they might. I haven't looked.
Yeah, check it out, guys. I'm sure Face-to-Face. I'm sure Sal's got his shit on lockdown, you know? He's got these guys for pre-order. So, yeah, what do
nope.
you think, Jay?
Sold out.
How much are they selling for?
Oh, no, wait, that's wrong. I was on your site.
yeah, still sold out.
Still sold out. I'm going to find out right now. I'll look. Keep talking.
Yeah. Jay.
What's that?
Chandra Pyromancer.
I don't know. I don't really care.
It's actually Pyromaster, but yeah.
She seems not.
Well, Face to Face has them for pre-order at $24.49 apiece.
I had them at $18.99.
And more.
That's why they're gone.
That's why they're gone.
People, this card went up already. People,
yeah.
So yeah, you don't think she's that good, Jay?
No. I don't know if I care about mugging, and I don't know if I care about like. I mean, I'll say her ability is good for red to be able to draw cards that you normally wouldn't be able to do in a deck like that. That seems fine, I guess. I mean, like, she doesn't really protect herself, and, yeah, I don't know, I'm just really super underwhelmed, like, I don't know, I don't really care. And, like, I don't know, like, I guess mainly it was because, like, everyone was talking about, oh, man, they're gonna make, like, Chandra the playable finally, and it's like, are you guys stupid? Like, when was the last time they did that?
There was, actually, I'll read this for listeners, so I did this contest, and I said, all right, we're looking for the best article about Chandra. And anybody who gives me the best article about Chandra, I'm going to give them $50 in store credit. So I do this on Twitter. And then I think it might have been the first entry I get, right, is from Michael J. Flores. And I'm like, oh, man, Michael J. Flores wrote an article, right? And then I look at it, and it's not an article. It's like his best version of Chandra. Like, if he were to make Chandra, this is what it would look like. All right, are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay, Chandra the eminently playable. One red, so three mana. Loyalty starts at three. Chandra's first ability is a +2, and it says Chandra the eminently playable deals 2 damage to each player. Okay. Its -1 ability is deals 2 damage to target creature or player. And then its -9 says you get an emblem with you have no maximum hand size. Whenever a red instant or sorcery card is put in your graveyard from anywhere, you may return it to your hand. So that's his version of Chandra.
Just red Tamiyo?
Yeah, I guess. But he's got this weird, like, deal 2 damage to each player, or deal two damage to target creature or player, which I think is an interesting play on things. I don't see how, like, having the hand size, like, really, like, kind of, like, synergizes with the other abilities. But yeah, so Jay votes nay. Scott votes yay. What does KYT say?
Oh, man, super rhyme time.
I didn't even mean to do that, dude. I'm a public, I just didn't even know it.
I hope it's good. I just can't see it, so I'm a nay.
You're a nay? What do you think about it in blue, white, red? Like, flash, like, those kind of decks.
Does Jace rotate out? Architect of Thought?
No, you think do you think Jace is better than this?
Yeah.
Hmm. In that deck? I wonder.
Oh, no, in blue, white, red. Oh, never mind. I'm thinking about control, sorry. In, like, a flash type?
Yeah, well, typically, like, you don't want anything sorcery speed in a flash deck. You know, that's the kind of, like... But, like, in the kind of decks that are running, like, these Jace... They're running, like, two Jaces. Not the four Jace decks, you know? But, like, some are running, like, two Jaces. Like, I mean, I can see this in a control deck, in a blue, white, red kind of deck. Seems fine.
But not better than Architect of Thought, right?
I don't know.
Because Architect of Thought, like, you at least, like... Sometimes I get blown up because they just, like, pick the one card they need from the three, and I'm like, fuck. Or the plus ability is just, like, shuts down, like, some of my aggro decks sometimes. Especially, I've lost at least two games where it's like, I thought I dominated a game, I have assembled a Legion, and Jace Architect of Thought just allows them to stay there enough for them to stick around to drop an Aetherling and kill me. So I'm like, fuck. Hmm. So that guy's just insane. But I mean, I hope she sees a home. And I mean, I was wrong about Domri, I think, when that was spoiled, and I thought that, I think my assessment was that you really had to make a specific deck for it, and
well,
I wasn't
that,
sure that it was
that,
good.
That's a good...
True,
that,
yeah.
That's true. That is exactly right. What they're doing with it, right?
And so I didn't think it was going to be worth that much because it was going to be so narrow, but now we're seeing it quite a bit. It's like, not only in, like, a very aggro-type shell, it's like in almost every mid-range deck that can play it. So I underestimated how much it was going to be played, and might make the same mistake here, but, you know, I could be right about this, just like... I thought Tibalt was very meh as well, so.
Yeah, I mean,
Tibalt. Yeah, how wrong you were about that.
Yeah, I don't even think it's meh, huh? Yeah, it doesn't even, like, fit in that category. Tibalt had a lure to me, you know, like, two mana Planeswalker. I thought, how could this be bad? There's got to be some kind of way to use it. But, nope, didn't work out.
Nope.
So yeah, I think my opinion is I think it's a playable Planeswalker. I don't think it's terrible.
Yep, I agree.
I haven't played enough Standard to, like, really see its, like, application or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
None of the other cards seem to excite me, though.
Like, you see they brought back Fiend Hunter, basically, right? Banisher Priest. Yeah, Banisher Priest is white one for a 2/2.
Oh, yeah.
When he enters the battlefield, exile target creature an opponent controls until Banisher Priest leaves the battlefield.
What?
Yep. Uncommon.
Is that better than Fiend Hunter or not?
Well, see, no, I don't think it's actually as good.
1/3, man. 1/3 is really
1/3
good.
Was really important, I think. And the fact that you can only target your opponent's creatures. If this were a 2/3, I think this card would be perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I really do. Like, you can only target your opponent's creatures. You don't have the shenanigans with your own. But, like, a 2/3 for white 1, that's perfectly fine. Anyways, that's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I wish, and this is just asking too much, the one thing I always wish about Fiend Hunter is that you would be able to beat down a little harder with it, you know?
Yeah.
But it just didn't, it never worked out that way. You're always hitting for one and you're still like an idiot, you know?
Yeah, but then I think his three toughness was super relevant. I think I would rather have a 1-3. I'd rather have a 1-3 than a 2-2 for sure, especially since Shock's back.
Shock is back, huh?
Yeah. Like, that's the most exciting spoiler, Shock. Woo.
Yeah, I like Doomblade being back. Makes me happy.
I'm actually excited for that, too.
Yeah, very, very good card.
And we've been without it for so long. Like, the removal right now is, like, so terrible. It's just all sacrifice-based and...
Yeah, like
you know, which is like, good when you're playing against hexproof, but it's not when they're playing like a fucking mana dork into hexproof guy.
Yeah, you just want to kill the mana dork.
Yeah,
like people are playing warped physique in their Esper lists because they just need a straight kill spell.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
It's the blue black instant target creature gets plus X minus X until end of turn, where X is the number of cards in your hand. Like, wouldn't you just rather play Doomblade?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Who you keep saying this about Warp Physique? Nobody plays this card, man.
Fuck you. Raymond Perez Jr. came first place in a Pro Tour qualifier on June 6th with SP controllers, and he played two copies. Suck my ass.
Raymond Perez? Who is this guy? Nobody cares.
It's motherfucking Raymond Perez.
Raymond Perez is going to Dublin, sir.
I love how he finds the one instance where someone's playing Warp Physique. Wouldn't surprise me if he was like...
Did you, by chance, look at, you know... The list that was played in... Fucking have to go back. Decks. There was a Star City event in... was it Columbus or Philly? I think it was Philly.
He's going to be like, Wallace! Wallace whatever.
Oh, never mind. He didn't play it.
Yeah.
But I think exactly. The other guy in the top 8 did. Hold on.
You going to tell me about an FNM where some dude played it now? And he got first place?
Nope. Lloyd Kurth, who is in the same Standard Open, came 7th place. Actually a friend of Jason Clark, Real Evil Genius. Anyway, so he came in... so he had a 2 Warp Physique in his main deck as well.
Okay.
7th at the SCG.
So 2 tournaments out of like a million.
Yeah, well, you know, since there's been so many tournaments that Esper Control has actually been relevant, but that's fine.
I mean,
I'm the idiot. It's okay. Carry on.
Nobody plays Warp Physique.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
just
right.
telling you right now.
Absolutely.
Stop trying to make that card happen.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just going to start saying, all right, Smitty.
Yeah.
All right, Smitty. Jeez, so, guys, like, this has a lot of potential in Standard. And then we get the Madaya Channelers.
Only if I can...
Man, oh, man, I forgot about that.
I forgot about Moldai.
That was epic.
You know, funny enough, I don't have any of those left in my collection. I don't know where they all went.
I love the part where he was like, It's never a bad thing. Either you get 2 mana or you get a 7/7 or whatever it was, a 5/5.
A 5/5 or 3.
It's never bad.
Never.
Oh,
he was classic.
Yeah.
What happened to that guy that used to read all or watch all our old episodes and then tweet?
So he actually has been tweeting at me all week.
Fuck.
Awesome.
That was like the highlight. That was fucking like when he tweeted the old like the old shit that happened.
Yeah.
That was like
so
the highlight.
This week the one that I got was, I'm gonna scroll through and get it real quick here. I'm scrolling very quickly. Fuck, I don't know how far back I am. That's too far. Anyway, so he sent it was, hey guys, how good is Stoneforge Mystic right now? And it was like, imagine putting a Bone Horde into play with that thing?
Yeah.
It was really
funny. Oh gosh, were we talking about putting a Bone Horde? I wasn't on the show back then.
No, but it was funny because it was literally like the cast before Pro Tour Paris.
Uh-huh.
When they were like boom dropping in Batterskulls with it, but it's just like called the card, right? So funny. And then he tweeted back to me. He's like, in all fairness, there was a deck in the top 8 that was putting Bone Horde into play with Stoneforge Mystic, and he's he linked me to it. Awesome.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
You know what I miss? I miss Shaolin Monk leaving huge comments on our episode.
Yeah, that guy must have died or something.
I think he's working really hard to make sure that he's got the Dota come to Calgary.
Hmm.
Ooh. Oh, he's going to make it?
I think you need to come back, Shaolin Monk. I'm sorry for saying I didn't read your comments. It was a lie.
It was a lie.
It was a falsehood.
He loves the way you lie.
Oh, man.
That's a fucking Rihanna song, by the way, okay? Don't disrespect Riri. What? What are you
laughing
at? Fucking noobs! Yeah. Register your fucking basic lands, kiddo. What a fucking total noob. Holy shit. Unbelievable.
It's embarrassing, man.
Unbelievable. You know what you don't have to register your lands in is fucking anti-league, okay? So, although you do have to have the same starting lands. Maybe that was a bad example. Somebody could be cheating it, man. Fucking anti-league cheaters.
Anti-league cheaters.
So, I'm literally just, like, waiting for the new spoiler to roll over here in less than a minute.
Yeah, we should. And while we wait for that, I should tell you about the sick card that someone suggested for my EDH deck.
Yeah, because we're talking about your lands EDH deck, right?
Yeah, the Child of Alara lands deck. I was kind of getting bored with it.
Are you playing Ad Nauseam?
No, not playing Ad Nauseam.
You showed that card's absurd.
It's okay. I mean, I don't know. I'll try it.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, people all try to kill me when I play this deck. I don't know why. It's a lands deck. Chill out, guys.
Just chillax, Bromont.
So they tried to kill me, so I had to like put some like other win conditions in there. Like I had to put an Eldrazi and Iavugan because like sometimes I had to put some other
win conditions in, so I put Iavugan and the Eldrazi.
Put an Eldrazi and an Iavugan, and then I also put a Swans.
So, okay.
Like, kill them with a Swans, the Seismic Assault kind of combo.
Yep.
Or maybe I could just beat them down with a Swans. Who knows, man?
Who knows, man? Anything can happen.
Holy shit. Sorry.
Okay, hold the thing. Mm-hmm. The sweet interaction, sweet card, and you guys are going to have to wait. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where it's going to spoil. We don't know. It's crazy.
It's crazy!
So the sweet card that I got suggested was Trade Routes.
Yeah.
And Trade Routes is a blue enchantment, one in a blue, and it says discard a land, draw a card. So you pay one mana, you discard a land, you draw a card. So it gives all your lands like one mana cycling. Here's the other thing. It says pay one mana, bounce a land to your hand. Which is crazy because I try to win with Mazes End, and they're always trying to kill my guild gates. So I can protect them. The other thing I can do is this super sick trick. So if you have Mana Bond in play, and you have Prismatic Omen in play, then you can just bounce all your lands and then drop them into play and, like, Valakut someone to death.
Yeah.
Shit.
Like, yeah, and or you just cycle them to discard them to draw cards and then bring them back with your Life from Below.
Yeah, or you can, like, float mana. You can throw them all with Brigamos, and then you can use that mana to play, like, Creeping Renaissance and get them all back and then throw them all again. So it's just insane. My buddy Dan Robers, he plays, like, a Child of Alara lands deck as well, and he recommended, he's like, you don't have Trade Routes in there? And I'm like, I don't know, man. And then I looked it up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this card's insane.
Okay, can we talk now?
No.
Sure.
And then in my EDH deck? No, I'm just joking, go ahead.
So they've 100% confirmed in Sam Stoddard's article that there will be no cycle of mana fixers in M14. We kind of knew that coming in, but 100% confirmed not happening. There is a set of dual lands coming in the Theros block. And Sam says, I can't tell you anything else about them, but I'm very excited about them. So that's promising. In addition to Mutavault as part of the lands, there's one land that they are actually putting in M14 at Uncommon, which is Encroaching Wastes, which is tap, add one to your mana pool, four tap, sack Encroaching Wastes, destroy target non-basic land. So it's not Tectonic Edge, but it's not Tectonic Edge. Thing that I find interesting is, like, people aren't playing Ghost Quarter. but we want to play Encroaching Wastes. Now, that said, I think that this card will be much, may actually be pretty good once we lose all of the M12 or M10 duels.
The thing because, about Encroaching Waste is it's just like a... It's like a Tectonic Edge in the sense that you have to spend 4 mana for it.
Yeah.
Where, like, you had to wait till they had 4 mana. But it's pretty sweet, though, right? Because, like, if they're screwed, you can still, like, screw them further.
Yeah. The
I
other...
like it.
I think it's pretty good. I think we'll see it post-rotation. In a cup, you know, but...
Oh, this will definitely see play, like, immediately. Yeah, in control decks, you're definitely going to start seeing, like, this is a 1 or 2.
See, and it's interesting you say that, because, like, I look at all of the decks, and there's, like, 0 basics in probably 95% of the list right now. And people aren't playing Ghost Quarter for that effect.
Yeah, but this, you keep your parity the same. With Ghost Quarter, they can still search.
They can search, but they're probably not going to find one.
Yeah, but, like, you can't just play Ghost Quarter hoping that you're going to mize them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's probably true.
The thing with this is, like, it'll blow up a, like, freaking whatever, a Wolf Run or, like, a...
Yeah. You know. Yeah, like, if you can't beat that card, it gives you an out. That's just incidentally fine otherwise. Yeah. All right.
I don't know. I like it.
Okay. BDM's spoiler is 1 red enchantment, uncommon. Barrage of Expendables. Artwork is pretty good. It's like a goblin on fire getting fired out of a slingshot. Red, sack a creature. Barrage of Expendables deals 1 damage to target creature or player. So it's like a more fair goblin bombardment.
Hmm. So you have to pay mana?
1 red mana.
Not excited.
No. I mean, I think it'll be fine in limited. Like, I think it'll be a perfectly fine deck for the red limited.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Deck, but I'm certainly not, you know, excited about it for constructed. BDM makes the comment to say that they actually had to put the red mana on it to prevent. A modern legal combo with Enduring Renewal, because Enduring Renewal is time shifted. For those of you that haven't been playing as long as we have, it's Enduring Renewal is white 2 enchantment. Play with your hand revealed. If you would draw a card, reveal the top card of your library instead. If it's a creature card, put it into your graveyard. Otherwise, draw a card. Now, it seems like it's all downside, but whenever a creature is put into your graveyard from play, return it to your hand. So. You know, like in Modern, you'd be able to get, like, an Ornithopter or a Memnite and just kill your opponent.
Oh, because you would sack it, it would go back to your hand.
You just play it for free, sack
again.
Play
it, sack it, and you just, like, boom.
Yeah. So, like, Goblin Bombardment, you can do that, but you can't do that with this one, and I guess that's why they put the red man on it. So.
Hmm. It's still interesting, I guess. Whoa, do you see this young Pyromancer card?
Yeah, you haven't seen that yet?
No. That's dirty.
Holy shit. Okay, John. So, the San Diego Comic-Con promos that we've heard about, the black cards?
Yeah.
Okay. So, there will be an exclusive box set for sale at the Hasbro Toy Shop booth, available for $65, tax included. You ready for this? After the event, a limited number will be put up for sale on the Hasbro Toy Shop website for $59.99 plus tax.
Hmm.
Huh.
I wonder what they mean by limited number.
Well, the number can't possibly be big enough for $60 to not be absurd value.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
What's going to happen is no one's going to get them, and then there's going to be more. They're going to be like Commander's Arsenal 2.
I agree, but I think it's actually really sweet that they're not just like, you're screwed if you don't go to the show.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. That's the sort of shit that they should be doing with those sorts of promos, in my opinion. It's good. Awesome.
Those promos are so wicked, too.
Look really hot, huh?
Yeah, they're sweet.
Yeah, they're
pretty hot.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the show, folks.
Yeah, I think so. There's nothing else really that happened, right?
I don't know.
Man, it's been a long show.
We nailed this show, man. 2 hours long, standard talk, EDH talk, spoiler talk,
GPT.
GPT talk,
noob talk. Plans. I don't know.
KYT,
we can leave it for
KYT didn't get a spoiler this time around.
What?
Well, I don't know. It's not. Is it like? Is the set going to be released? I always get it last, and I've never gotten a core set spoiler, so it's not something that's like I'm on the blacklist or anything. I mean, they did give me a Hall of Fame vote, so.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, weren't we supposed to talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were, but it's getting long. Unless you have, like, a lot to add to it, John, we can talk about it.
I mean, I don't know anything about it. I just heard that Chris Pakula is his last year or something, right, to be elected in?
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, is there, like, how does it work?
I think
there's
like,
some like new pro point thing. Like you have to have some amount of pro points.
Oh, I see.
I think you have to win like so many or have like so many top eights, pro tour top eights, in like 10 years. So like I think like next 10 years he won't have enough to be like in there.
Mm.
So like, but I don't know. Maybe if he wins more, then he could get back in. I have no idea how it works. But I just heard that this is the last year, so I don't know. Do you have your ballot all picked out? Are you ready to announce it, or can you announce it? Or?
No, I can announce it, but I don't have it exactly picked out. LSV is a lock for me, and Huey Jensen is a lock for me. I think Ben Stark is what I'm leaning for slot number three, and then the last two I'm not too sure. There's a lot of people with very, very sick stats. And, like, the issue for me is, like, I came into the game after the primes of all these people. Like, all these people I respect, like, Flores, etc. Randy Buehler have told me to, vote for Chris Pakula, but I have no sense of, you know, how important his accomplishments were. Like, Rosewater is telling people to vote for him, so I think I'm going to vote for him. I don't think he'll get in anyways, based on looking at how many votes he got in the past previous years, and he was close like year one and year two, but it's since died down. And I don't think I think three people. I'm thinking Stark, LSV, and Huey might be the only three to make it for this class, based on like how I've been judging who wants to vote for who on my Twitter feed. Like the other like Saito's, like a lot of people are iffy about whether to vote for him or not, and then there's other people like that. So
it's interesting that nobody's talking about Mark Herberholtz, actually, which is an interesting one, because like he's already had four top eights and a win, like pro tour top eights and a win,
mm-hmm.
And you know he's also been well renowned deck builder, and
yep.
You know no one's really talking about him either.
What about Saito?
So Jerry's voting for Saito.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the KYT? You feel like because Saito is a quote unquote cheater, that he shouldn't get in the Hall of Fame?
What does that mean?
It does
quote unquote cheater. Do you mean cheater?
No, I mean quote unquote cheater.
You mean like
you mean like a fucking cheater?
Proven banned for cheating cheater, like that?
Yeah. Like he's a quote unquote murderer. No, he's just a cheater.
I think it might hold me back from voting for him this year.
Uh-huh.
But like his accomplishments are insane, and just the decks that he built, and just like for
like,
Pro Tour Montreal.
Get a script from him?
What?
Yeah.
Like, didn't he like get in and then get out?
Yeah.
Like he got banned right before he was gonna get inducted, I believe. So,
just, you know, I mean, come on, let the guy in, like. Oh man, yeah, I'm a big Saito fan. I like that guy.
He definitely has the credentials to be, like, he has the stats to be a lock in. So it's whether the cheating comes in into play. And I've talked to people who aren't voting for him. I know Flores is voting for him. Scott said Jerry's voting for him. And a lot of people have put, I think PV is voting for him as well. So there's a lot of people that are putting their votes for him. Yeah. So he's going to come close.
I think he should come close, man. I think he should get in, you know? I'd vote him in, man. I would just cook 5 votes for Saito and be like, boom, there you guys go. You know where I stand. So,
I do feel bad for, like, you brought up Chris Bakula. Yep. Like, mainly because a lot of people are pushing his contribution, and it's hard for me to know about that stuff. It's like just asking, and apparently he stood up against cheating before anybody else did. And so it's hard for me to know, like, how impactful that really was.
Yeah.
And
well, I think
so,
he'll do the research. He'll figure it out.
Yeah. I'm looking at the stats. I'm actually taking this very seriously. Looking at that, seeing like people with 5 Pro Tour top 8s and like Scott Johns, and he's probably, no one's like really, people have talked about him, mentioned him, but no one's really voting for him. I've seen 0 ballots of people voting for that guy. So apparently he was a bit sketchy as well. And it's a hard process. Like, not everyone's like an LSV. That's like an obvious lock. So it's going to be tough.
That's crazy. Alex V is probably going to be in the Hall of Fame, you know? Because I feel like Alex V is, like, one of the newer, like, you know what I mean? I feel like he's not new, but he's, like, he's been, like, the hero of, like, my time in Magic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's, like, cool to see, like, you know, someone like that get inducted.
His finishes, like, his average finish, I forget what it was, but for PTs, is just ridiculous. I think it was even like 16th or something. Like, that's just too good.
It's just insane. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's proven it. Yeah, so I've had a hard time, and like, I don't have to make my final decision for a good while, so I'm going to be asking and talking to a lot of people. I've talked to Flores, I've talked to Reed, I've talked to Jerry, so just making sure that I'm not an idiot and just like, well, yeah, whatever, scribble these 5 names.
No, I really appreciate that you, because, you know, you got the Hall of Fame vote, and instead of being, like, just nonchalant about it, you really put the time in to make it a thing, you know, and I appreciate it. I think that's cool. Go ahead.
Especially for Chris Pakula, because it's his last year, so, you know, if it's pending on my vote, whether he gets in or not, as people, like, Huey has missed on 1 vote before, then you know, every vote does count, especially for this.
I don't think it's possible that Huey misses this year.
Okay, yeah. But I meant for Chris, like, it could come down to the wire. Huey's probably definitely a lock for this time around.
Oh, that's sick. Well, it'll be exciting to see what happens, man. It'll be exciting, yeah.
It's really dirty to take a look at the people that are sort of in the, like, 3 and 4 top 8 class. And, like, there's so many of them that are still playing that are so good.
Yeah.
So good at this game. It's like, wow, like, next year they're going to be 5 for sure. Like, what? It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost impossible for me to consider, like, Eric Frolic not making it in the next 2 years.
Yeah, he's been putting up some solid,
like,
results.
If he continues to play the way he's been playing, like, he'll lock in for sure.
I kind of like the guy.
He apparently, like, I've never met him, but I mean, the stories have him come out as, you know, either a really nice guy if you know him, or, you know, potentially not so nice if he's upset with you.
Oh, man.
But, you know, that's, he seems like a really awesome guy.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever be upset with me, because, like, I don't exist in the Magic, like, pro tour.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's pretty sweet.
All right.
Yeah, man. I hope you pick well. That's pretty exciting stuff.
Come on, Flores, make it on the list.
Yeah. Didn't they determine that he doesn't have enough I actually listened to his their Top 8 Magic show this week.
Oh.
And they were talking about that.
Yeah, about him?
What's up with Forrest? Does he get to go on there?
No. He doesn't have enough points or something.
Yeah. He needs... You need, like, over 100.
Yeah.
So... Yep. But I want to vote for him.
I would vote for Forrest.
His contributions of the game are too much.
His contributions are insane. Like, he should... You know, it's just like... How can we have a Pro Tour Hall of Fame without Forrest in it? Seriously. Can we? Yeah. Can we do that?
Exists without him.
I don't think we can do that. Well, here's the thing. He's BFS with the Pro Tour historian, right?
Right.
So I think together they can make history by like putting him on the ballot without all the extra special stuff. Or I think maybe Forrest, you just have to play better, bro. Like, get the stats.
Hope he spikes one more PTQ and makes a run. That'd be hilarious.
What does he need to be in the Pro Tour?
I have no clue what's his pro point status. Have to look it up or ask him. I don't know if I can look it up.
Hmm.
I imagine he's far away. I don't feel like he's played that many PTs. He's designed a lot of decks. So that's definitely something I want to ask him. How far are you? All right. I think that's a wrap.
I think so too.
Sweet.
Gentlemen, an honor and a pleasure.
As always. Oh, I also, since we've been talking about this raffle, have come up with a bunch of stuff. I got about like 30 cards going, signed, foils, alternate arts.
Sweetness.
Yeah. Some foreign language. Yeah.
That's hot.
Yeah, that is sweet. Add that. You can take that to the beach. That's where you can take it.
Sweet. Let's take this podcast to the beach.
Man, that would be wicked.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
New!
Fucking new!